accession number 11071, Rule 2.
Dan Kudrenko, Rule 2. What happened when they searched you?
When they searched me, he came to me. I was actually on the right hand from him because I was last. I was on the line left one, the last one. When he came to me, first, same procedure. He grabbed me on the hands. But my watch, because Tanya had a thicker hand. And when she gave it to me in the felt ski, she had about 3 or 4 days before, I was laughing to Tanya. I said, Tanya, you are too fat. And she said, oh, no, because the bracelet from the watch was strange, you know. And she said, now you're too skinny. That's what, because it was loose. Watch was loose on my hand. And he dropped it here nearly to the elbow. When he grabbed it, both hands, he didn't find nothing. Actually, only by me, stopped watch was there. But when I opened it for him, the suitcase, I had a little box there. I got a crosses there, chalice and rings, my present for my friends, from my friends, from my mother, from my father, from the Tanya presents and so on, you know. Many was very, very dear. He took it already to the further, where it was already like small pyramid with what he took from the other officers. That was the things, good one, stuff what he selected. It was sexual selection. He put it, dropped the box there in on this hip where it was a little pyramid. Actually, in my watch when went there. Then when this was all this, how can I say, robbery, not robbery, but such a thing like that, which we were, everybody was disappointed. We never expected from the British army. We can expect this from the German army, from the communists, from the Bolsheviks, they are doing this like this, but never, never from the English army. Such a behavior, ordinary soldiers to behave said, like with the officers. If we were even enemies with England, we were prisoners of war. According to the Geneva Convention, it's not allowed to search us, take everything we got that was dear to us, to beat us with a button. When this whole procedure finished, they ordered us to turn to the left. Actually, I was in front in this side. On front of me was standing one British soldier with a machine gun. And when I turned there, was behind also. They ordered all to march behind the soldier. We marched, marched behind the soldier, we went behind the hut. This old barracks was there. There, I saw the first camp. Barbed wire, soldiers, machine guns, reflectors through the night, searchlights, you know, this one, everything. And I got a shock. Such a shock, I didn't expect. When they searched us, we thought they are searching us, everything, and take us somewhere else to the camp, because camp was hidden behind the barracks, behind these heads. We didn't see them. When I got a shock, I loud gave the command to the old officers behind me. Attention, face to the left. Somebody behind of officer asked me, he says, what's happened? I said, trap, officer sirs. Trap, they got us. When they come, they saw that they were our camp. So many soldiers around the camp and everything. We saw that in two rows, barbed wire. And the high, I don't know in English how you call it, where the soldiers watch, in
tower. The watchtower,
Where three watchtowers there. and on the top were machine guns and the searchlight, you know, and so. Whereas at first I went in the camp on the gate. I was so upset, I had with me one gramophone with a play to the records, you know. I was so mad, I dropped my suitcase, took my rucksack off, dropped everything on the ground, and I winded up the gramophone, put a record, Georgian Marsh, very good record, and I put him so loud. I don't know what I did, but from his shock, you know. And I was standing in attention and saluting every officer who is coming in the through the gates. And I was telling every officer, welcome, sir, welcome, sir, welcome, sir, till everybody come through. Then I dropped everything, and we went together in the camp, and where everyone were disappointed, upset, and so what the trick, what deception was. That was the deception from our allies. Of if we were enemies, or if we were fighting, you know, we did not. No one bullets was shot on there. We were very happy to meet them. That's what we wanted. And we were for this paradise when we surrender. Everybody was thinking and talking in the camps and everywhere that something will give us weapons. We still going to fight, or they'll send us somewhere. They will decide our destiny.
Did you think at this time that the Russians were involved, the Soviets, that you would be sent back to them? Did you think at this time they were involved?
We thought that's something of maybe 80% or so, but not 100%, because the Stalin and the Americans and England was allies. We knew about the Yalta Conference, you know. We didn't know that in Yalta Conference this time what was signed. But in the Yalta was signed that we have to be repatriated. Soviet citizens have to be repatriated. Actually, didn't say anything about the migrants who were 20 years actually, till the 38, you know. And, of course, everybody was upset. We knew something is not good, because allies wouldn't let us. It can't be unbelievable to put us behind the barbed wire and such behave. They was prepared. Something was, as we ordinary people say, smelling. Something very, very bad. About lunchtime, or it was early in the morning, because we were first in the track, start to come officers more and more. The Cossacks went to the other camps, and the officers come to our camp. About lunchtime, so was maybe 100 or 120 officers coming with the wives, nurses, medical personnel used to come, and so on. Everybody was surprised. I saw Tanya is coming with her mother. I was but pleased, you know, but light on the heart, because she was coming with me. During this day, Major, the oldest of them, highest, was the Major Ostrovsky. He was the commander on the 1st Don Cossack Regiment. But as the Germans were separated, he was in command of the whole 1st Division. And when he arrived, everybody was happy to see him. Actually, he was not personal on us, but on his division, on his regiment officer. Everybody was complaining to him about the watches. He said, because to everybody, they took it off watches from everyone. When the British major came with the interpreter there, Actually, later on, I used to help the interpreter because he was Croatian, but he doesn't understand Russian language, and I used to help him. You know. Major Ostrovsky, he was educated in Yugoslavia. He spoke perfectly Croatian and Serbo-Croatian language. When the British major came, our major Ostrovsky tried to like complain to him. He said, how is this come to take the watches and rob the officers? How is it happening? He said, all right, I go and find out. British major went outside about 20 or half an hour. The soldiers brought us full box with the watches back in the camp. But these watches, nobody's watches. It was very cheap stuff where they got from, got to announce. They were prepared. Then no one officer found his own watch. Even I didn't find my watch. It's gone. But it's funny thing, how where they got from so many? Full box with the watches, you know. During the day, we were talking, then high officers, majors, captains, and so on, decided to write petition to the English command. They went in the tent and they wrote it that we are not Soviet citizens. We never fought against the allies, and that we beg you, we ask you not to give us to the Soviet authority. And also, if they decided, in the same petition was written, if they decided to give us, they better to shoot us here, on the spot where we are now. This petition was given to the British major and so on. During that day, of course, it was very hard life. Nobody knew what is our destiny for tomorrow, for any day what's happened. But we knew that something will happen. In the evening, we got an order from the British command to prepare next morning at 9 o'clock to be lined up and to be prepared to be loaded in the trucks and going to another camp. And the British major went outside with the interpreter. In the morning, about the 6 o'clock in the morning, the same sergeant major with button, he's waking up everyone. Who doesn't wait, he beat him with a button, beat on the boots, in the ribs, who doesn't want to go up and so on. But actually, we just went to sleep maybe early in the morning. We were talking between us what's happened for us tomorrow and where we are going. Next day, we lined it all up. In the camp already, very full camp, it was in the evening, was 193 officers in this camp, including about 30 in civilians, women, nurses, and so on, ladies, you know.
With your girlfriend, was she there?
She was there with her mother. Tanya was there. She saved my life. Actually, in the morning, next morning, in the 9 o'clock, our Major Ostrovsky lined up all officers and all people who were there in the camp. Exactly 9 o'clock, British Major come with the interpreter in the camp. They saluted each other, as supposed to be. Our major reported that line is up, everything ready. Then was the commander this. British major told our major, Cossack major Ostrovsky, to order all camp to be loaded in the trucks. Major Ostrovsky said, no, I can't do that. You have to tell us, please, where, what for. And he said, you're going to the shift to the other camp. He said, I won't give you such an order till I know where you are taking us. The British manager, of course, he pretended. He said, he don't know. Major Ostrovsky asked him, he said, then find out, because I won't give the order to go on in the track. Actually, he said, oh, well, I will go and find out. In this time, Major Ostrovsky asked the British major, please give us a word, officer's word of honor, and of, as you are the guard of His Majesty King of England, give us a word, officer word of honor, you will telling truth, wherever. He said, he gave the word. He said, I give my officer's word, I'm going to find out where you are going. About maybe 20 or half an hour later on, we were waiting. It was so long, you know, because we didn't know result. Actually, we saw the coming the British major with the interpreter. Come, he said, you are going to the Judenburg, the big place there, and you're being given to the Soviet authority, to the Soviets. Of course, everybody was shocked, but he kept officers, this major kept his word.
Who was he? Do you know his name?
I don't know. I can find for you in documents. Yeah, who was he? But he was not only in command there, he was in the, doing everything, all procedures should be military there done, but behind him were two or three or four officers higher rank, you know. But he was in charge of this camp, actually. When he told us we are going to be given to the Soviet, women start crying, upset. Everybody was looking for something. Personally, I ran to the Tanya. Tanya was standing and crying. I said, Tanya, please give me a scissors, razor blade. You are the nurse, I beg you. Needle, even if you give me the needle, it will be all right. I can make suicide. You are the nurse. You must have something. And she said, Vanya, that's my nickname, she said, Vanya, they took everything, Sergeant Major cleaned us up. He said, nothing left. Was it truth or not? Maybe she had the scissors or needle or razor blade. Maybe she didn't want to give it to me. Many officers ran, but to make suicide, you can, because we were clean up with nothing. Nothing in the cap you care. We could each other to kill, but with what in hell?
Were you that desperate?
Desperate, yeah. To go to Soviet Union, better on this, so desperate. Everyone, we are running from one corner to another. They kept to find something to make suicide, but we couldn't. Doesn't know, our officer's honor was very high, you know, as a honor. But this betrayal and to give us to the Stalin, which some of us, not all of them, because most of them were from the Soviet Union, but more, actually, maybe 5 or 10% were the old migrants. They fought the Bolsheviks from the 1917. And you can imagine to give us to the Stalin what's happened to us, to everyone.
Did they make no attempt to screen you, to find out who were the old emigres and who were the Soviets?
No, they did not. Then come the colonel, higher rank, I think I got his name. In court, I think his name was mentioned. He said, you have to go. He said, we, Major Ostrovsky, start to beg, because I was standing there listening, start to beg. He said, now we are not going nowhere. You shoot us here. Then there were some talking officers better themselves, And they decided, because they couldn't force Major Ostrovsky to give the command to be loaded on the trucks. They decided, who wants to be shot here to go to the left? And who wants to be loaded in the trucks to go to Soviet Union, go to the right. They divided us, you know. Now, mostly of all, go to the left to be shot. And women, wives, and so on, you know. And they got a softer nerves and the heart, and they were scared, you know. They went to the truck. They load themselves in the truck. They were loading the trucks, 8 officers in one truck in the big jams, 4 on each side. All your things, what you got there, suitcase, looks there in the middle. In the trucks are 4 British soldiers with machine gun in every corner. Officers had nothing there of weapons, as already, you know. In the truck, in the cabin of the truck, also driver and another soldier with the automatic weapons. That means 6 soldiers with the machine guns on the 8 without anything, officers. That was the big honor they did to us. How they mean there were danger. 8 officers with nothing, the 6 British soldier with the machine guns. We were so dangerous. Well, there's some people who didn't have the strong enough of, if you so may say, in Australian language, guts, you know, especially young ones, they went to the truck, start to loading. Actually, what was on the right side, they were loaded. Truck is loaded to a date officer and is moving behind the camp to the column. Every truck full one, they locked it behind, you know, and they went there. On our side, on the left side, left maybe 120 or 30 people. Then during these times, we were still standing there. We were ordered, the commander said, you will be shot. Go on the truck or you'll be shot. We asked them, shoot. We begged them to shoot us there in the camp. A short time, run inside a firing squad with the machine guns. And they lined up in front of us. When they lined up to us, they started to separate the medical personnel. They didn't iron this time, but just were standing in front of us. Medical person, doctors, sisters, veterinaries, you know, and so on. During this separation, our Major Ostrovsky asked the British major, what for are you taking them? Why? They said they are free to go outside. They will be dealt with the Geneva Convention. Then Major Ostrovsky asked him and said, why don't you deal with us? We are under the Geneva Convention. He said, now you don't belong to that. It's law, a different law for you. When they separate, Tanya didn't want. Well, didn't many go, doctors and no one sister except my Tanya. But Tanya, I begged to go out. And my mother come to me and she called me and said, Vanya, please tell Tanya to come out. That's the chance. I begged the Tanya. I said, Tanya, go. Go outside and tell the world, tell you are free. Tell the people what's happened with us. And tell my mother. She knows my mother very well. Tell my mother what's happened with me. Actually, about 10 or 15 minutes with argument between us two, she agreed. I helped her to the gate. They went free. About 3 or 4 doctors. The rest medical personnel stay there with us. They don't want to leave.